Today on Real Radio.
God's final witness to the world will be a powerful testimony of grace and judgment. Grace and judgment. You say, how do you reconcile the two? They're exclusive. That is both true and false at the same time. You say, well, how can that be a factual statement? Well, this way, God who is holy and righteous has to be just. But listen, God also is a God of grace and of mercy.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Revelation. We're looking at chapter 11 of this final book of Scripture. This is where the Apostle John learns of what are called the two witnesses. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs continuing in his series called God's Final Witness to the World.
And so we look in verses 9 through 11, God's final witness to the world exposes man's hatred against the truth. It says there that during that time, then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations of the earth will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. That is, their bodies, these two witnesses will be lying in the street, and they're going to not allow their bodies to be buried in graves. This is amazing. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry. And look, Christmas in hell. They're going to send gifts to one another because of these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Now, after the 3.5 days, the breath of the life of God entered them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon all those who saw them. Well, listen, there's this great hatred that the world is going to have against God and against God's witnesses, and that's true today. There is a hatred against the Lord. There's a hatred against his message. But these people, listen, what I find interesting is that this is still an event in the future, and the whole world is talking about tolerance today, right? I drove down the 10 freeway this week, and there's the Museum of Tolerance, and I had to look at that in light of Revelation 11, and I had to kind of chuckle a little bit. Because everybody is told to tolerate everybody, except there's only one group of people that you don't have to tolerate. And that's Christians. Outlaw them. Crucify them. Do anything. Just get them out of here because they drive us crazy. Well, nothing's going to change. Apparently, it's going to intensify because it's a world of tolerance until it comes to these two guys who are preaching the Word of God. Well, we can't tolerate that. These two witnesses are killed, and these people go nuts. And what's amazing, any of you with a little mind of technology here, how does the whole world rejoice over two men who are dead in Jerusalem? Satellite TV. CNN. It's interesting. People are going to be watching. They're dead. Oh, right, they're dead. Let's send gifts to, you know what? Let's send a gift to Aunt, you know, Betty in Detroit. Oh, and oh, I'm so glad to receive this gift. Aren't you glad that those guys are dead? I couldn't stand them either. Let me send you some flowers. They're going to rejoice and send gifts to one another and make merry over their dead bodies. You say, that's impossible. Have you ever looked, have you ever tuned into the news today and watched the actions of the Middle East when something goes on? Have you seen dead bodies dragged through the streets behind a Jeep and they stomp and burn that body and say, all right, and do they not rejoice over the dead? Are you not watching that? Have you not seen that? Church, we need to wake up. Here we are reading a book that's over 2,000 years old, and it's just as though we're turning on the news this morning where they're dragging the body of some victim that they hated. They're pouncing all over it, burning it and dragging it among the streets and hanging it over a bridge and declaring victory. And you say, well, that would never happen. I tell you, it's happening. And it's going to happen all the more until the point reaches where the world will rejoice simultaneously together. It's absolutely amazing. You're going to hear things. I mean, thank God. I mean, I hope you don't hear these things. We'll be out of here by then, but can you imagine live, you know, This is CNN. We switch now live to Jerusalem, where these two men have been struck down and people are rejoicing. It's amazing. You don't have to use much of imagination to see that happening today. Look at this hatred that they have in verse 10. And those who dwell on the earth, those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them. It's the earth dwellers that we talked about before. They're going to sing these bizarre songs. I don't know. Can you imagine? They're going to rejoice. The two witnesses are dead. The two witnesses are dead. Hi-ho, the derry-o, the two witnesses are dead. It's going to be weird. They're going to party. They're going to have T-shirts. Satan rules. You know, some. I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to run around with the horns on their head. Hey, they're dead. They're going to make merry. Party. Come on. Bring another keg of beer. The witnesses are dead. Sing a song. Come on. All right. What are they going to do? Isn't it weird? They're going to make merry. They're going to rejoice. People could be so goofy. These people on December 31st, 1999. Did you see that? Did you watch the... As the world turned, they went to some new spot every moment on CNN, and as the clock... People are just, they're kind of civil. They're looking at the clock. And they go, ding! Ah! And it's the new year, and they're like going nuts. Freaking out crazy over the new year. These people are going to go berserk over the death of their enemy, and they're going to love it. And by the way, at this point in time, you would say, man, this is not very exciting because it looks as though Satan's got the victory. When the enemies of God rejoice, you know, it's only for 3.5 days. It's going to be a short party. And then God's going to be the party pooper on this party. And in verse 11, we see this hatred that they just cannot see where it's taking them. The world hates God today, and it's going to increase. And sometimes I wonder, you know, you like me, we're out and we're living in this world, but we're not of this world. And we eat and we get gasoline and we buy a book and we go get coffee or whatever we do. And have you noticed that if you're like around the house and you're doing housework or whatever you do, or you're mowing the lawn or whatever, and you happen to have a Jesus t-shirt on, and you forget you're even wearing it. Has this happened to you, or is it just me? And it's just maybe I'm ugly, and people just give me these looks normally. But I got to go to Starbucks. And so I'll go, you know, get my Christian drugs, caffeine. And so I go there, and I'm wondering, man, what's with that guy? He's like, apparently he came to church and I offended him, I guess. Had nothing to do with that. Then I realize I've got this shirt that says, real men love Jesus, and that offended him. You know? What's the deal? At the marriage retreat, somebody had a Christian sticker on their car. Well, a non-Christian walked by and couldn't stand it. And so wrote a note. This is what I think about you, and blank, and beep, and you beep, and you beep, 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 beep. I mean, there's cussing. The guy wrote curse words on a letter and put it on his windshield wiper. That guy's got issues. Can you imagine somebody just walking along, see a sticker? Oh, give me a paper. Beep, beep, beep. Can you imagine what would just set that guy off normally? No, honey, I don't want to do what you say. What? Beep, beep. Man, the world hates God. Jesus says, what are you surprised about? If the world hates you, they hated me long before they hated you, Jesus said. And the world is just going to continue to hate God. And yet at the same time, the world is going to become more religious, more religious, more religious without God. And Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, be careful. In the last days, people will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Religion without relationship. All the liturgical practices, the pomp, the glory, all of these things with no substance, no knowledge of the Bible. No dependence upon the Bible. God says this is the world that's coming. And they can't see their hatred, that it's going to lead them to destruction. Terrible. Verses 12 to 14 will end in this point, and that God's final witness to the world will be a powerful testimony of grace and judgment. Grace and judgment. You say, how do you reconcile the two? They're exclusive. That is both true and false at the same time. You say, well, how can that be a factual statement? Well, this way, God, who is holy and righteous, has to be just. But listen, God also is a God of grace and of mercy. And what's amazing to me is the more I learn about the nature and the person of God, the more I begin to find out how incredibly responsible I am for how I live my life and the decisions I make. Church, please understand this. You and I are responsible for our decisions that we make. And when I begin to look at some of those decisions, I can tell you that prior to being a Christian, watch, prior to being a Christian, I made stupid decisions. Then when I became a Christian, I made less stupid decisions. The older now I become as a Christian, I learn to make less stupid decisions. To now, after being a Christian for as long as I have been a Christian, I've learned now just to not make decisions. Because I don't know. So I will pray like this. Lord, I don't know what to do about this situation. Now, Lord, you know, between you and I, you know that I know what to do, but I'm not going to do that. Because I have found out, Lord, that when I know what to do about it, it's usually the wrong thing to do. So, Lord, I know somewhere along this path of logic and reason is something I haven't thought about yet. That will be the thing to do. Lord, the problem is I haven't thought about it yet. And I know that you hold it. And I know that you're never in a hurry. So, Lord, give me the patience to wait and to travail along until I get it from you. Church, people, listen. This is really painful to you, and it is to me. Because this is what happens in a real church life experience. Pastor Jack, we need an answer from you on this by Tuesday at 5. Okay. Please understand, I am more than willing to give you an answer right now on the spot. Oh, we don't have to wait till 5 o'clock on Tuesday. Hey, you can have my answer now. And it's a stupid answer. But the Lord has said, keep your mouth shut. So guess what happens? We reconvene, we meet, and because I don't have an answer, I'll say, I'm not sure what you should do. What? I don't know what you should do about that. Didn't God tell you anything? Well, quite frankly, no, he didn't. Well, I got to know by 5 o'clock on Tuesday. Listen, I'm open. I am listening. And if God doesn't give the answer, do you know what happens? I just lost a friend. People would rather, you know, say, tell me something, will you? Give me an answer. Even if it's wrong, just give me one. That does a lot of damage for people. I have found most often in my life and sometimes in the lives of others that God will not answer because God wants me to go get the answer for myself, to teach me how to listen and learn from him personally. What should I do about this boy? What should I do about this girl? What should I do about this job or this thing? I know, I'll have my friends tell me what to do. Oh, I'll go to the pastor, he'll tell me what to do. And quite frankly, if that pastor's worth his weight in salt, he won't tell you what to do. He'll point you to God and the Bible, and he'll say, you need to find this out. And the person goes, I don't want to. I want you to tell me, I want to take the easy road. I don't want to sit and listen. That's painful. Well, listen to God's grace and God's judgment here. It says in verse 12, and they, that's those present, heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, to who? The dead, the two dead guys, the two witnesses, the two prophets, come up here. We'd love to have... love to see that happen. And they, that's the two witnesses, ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. I'm sorry, church, this is too good. You guys, the word ascended, it's not like this. Watch. It's not whoosh. It's not the word in the Greek. Guess what kind of word it is? It's great to study the Bible. You ought to circle that word ascend. It means they went like this. It means to go up slowly, not in a hurry, to ascend, to arise like a hot air balloon going up. It's the same word that applied to Jesus on the mount when he said, I'm leaving now, see you, wait in Jerusalem for the promise of the Father, bye. And he ascended slowly up. And the Bible says that the Shekinah or a cloud received Jesus up out of their sight. They all stood there watching. That's why the Bible says that when that happened, but with the disciples and Jesus going up, that they stood there and they, with amazement, gawked. They looked up. And that's why it says two men appeared unto them and said, why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? Their mouths were hanging down. Same thing here. These guys get up. Can you imagine? These guys have been laying in the streets for 3.5 days. And if it's in the summer, Jerusalem's hot. Oh, rotting, stinking flesh. And they're pouncing on their bodies. They're just spitting on them. All this stuff for 3.5 days. Worldwide media coverage. All of a sudden, they're, the guy's laying there. Oh, man. Elijah, you all right? I'm feeling pretty good. Let's stand up, see if everything's working. Yeah. Can you imagine? This is CNN. Can you imagine producers on the scene? Cut away to a commercial. Cut away, cut away, cut away, cut away. Can you imagine people partying? These guys stand up. And they begin to ascend only after this command, come up here. You know, oh, come up here. Come up here. And then you see these guys just. It says here, verse 12, they saw them. That's awesome. That's grace. That's the grace of God. God will never abandon his people. No way, ever. Verses 13 to 14, the judgment of God. He'll never leave justice undone. And boy, is this something needed in our world today. The Lord will never leave justice undone. In that same hour, there was an earthquake, a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. That's the tenth of Jerusalem fell down. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed. Some of your Bibles say 7,000 men. We don't know for sure what that means. New King James says 7,000 people. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, does the old King James say 7,000 men? Huh? Anybody? It just says 7,000? We don't know if it's just men. Watch. If it's just men, male, men, not postal workers, but men. 7,000, meaning, and there were many others killed who were not men. Like, remember when Jesus fed the 5,000? That's men, not including women and children. It could have been 15,000. Well, with this, did 7,000 men die and another 10,000 people, women and children? Or is it 7,000 people total? We don't know. But we know this. It was 7,000 deaths from this great earthquake. That's powerful. And the rest, look at, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. We'll study that next week. And I got to tell you something. This is quite interesting. We'll be done with this regarding the judgment of God. God has to judge. And listen, none of us rejoice in judgment. I got news for you. Neither does God. But let me put it to you this way. Let me turn the tables on you. If an injustice has been done, a horrific wrong, do you not want to see justice done? We say, well, yeah, sure, as long as it's not on me. Come on, let's get personal and we'll end this. If I do something wrong and I make a humongous blunder, do you know what I want from the judge? Exactly, I want mercy. Judge, Your Honor, I'm sorry. Okay, I'm glad you're sorry, but you'll spend the next 15 years in prison. The judge could even say, if in the same situation, I probably would have did the same thing or worse. But you got caught. And the jury came back and you got to go. The justice is you did this, and the justice is this is what you'll pay for it. I'm very sorry. See, we live in a system now where the whole thing is so corrupt. If you got money, you're going to get off. I find it interesting that when O.J. Simpson's case ended, LAPD closed the investigation. Did you know that? They're not. The day after the verdict, they were not looking for another killer. It's over. It's done. Today, there are people who are now having to go back to work, older people, people who were retired or retiring. They invested, they worked hard all their lives and they invested money. And because of white-collar crime, their retirements have been stolen from them. And you look at the situation for the greediness, for the greed of Martha Stewart and her empire, just to make a little bit more. She sacrificed the lives of thousands of people who were going to retire. How can this happen? And to hear that she may just have to do community service? Destroying the lives of people? Well, do you know what that means, don't you? It just means there's going to be a lot more of that. Because there's not much justice being done. Well, there will come a day when God will exercise perfect justice and perfect. And the Bible says in the book of Genesis that, in fact, Abraham said it, shall not the Lord of all the earth do right? Yes. Because he knows every motive to every crime. And this devastation that you read about here in this verse, how could that be? Because God is just.
You know, that's one of the biggest problems people have with God Almighty, is that God acts like God. We've been listening to pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study series called God's Final Witness to the World, which is based upon Revelation chapter 11. It's the apocalyptic passage that mentions the two prophesying witnesses. God's Final Witness to the World is actually a series within a series as we work our way through this final book of Scripture, which means we'll pick up with more on our next edition of Real Radio. Hey, listen, if you haven't yet visited realradioactive.org, or at least lately, you may want to do so. realradioactive.org is a great place to get plugged into this radio ministry. You can click on our links to other recommended ministries and organizations. You can hear today's program as well as yesterday's and other recent Real Radio broadcasts. Why, you may even become a podcast subscriber, all at no charge. And while you're there, drop us a quick email and give us your thoughts on Real Radio. Pastor Jack always enjoys encouraging feedback by our listeners, which we get from all over the world, by the way. Again, realradioactive.org. You can also send us a letter to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Once again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Our telephone number is area code 909. Our telephone number is 909-393-7100. Real Radio is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue on the air reaching people for Christ because of your contributions. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.